And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, and I usually do that with Carlos. Carlos is here with me, just as usual. How are you doing this evening?
I thought I got confused. I thought I wasn't here for a second. You were like gaslighting me. You said I usually do it with Carlos. And then I was really confused for a second, James. Like that was existential for a moment. Anyway, James, I'm doing well. It is a interesting time to be in the United States of America.
Yes.
That was loud. I'm sorry about that. Arguably more important, Rowdy's playoff soccer is going on.
You could argue that.
And I think rather successfully, to be honest. That's happening. It happened. And thankfully, it's still happening. That's what we'll talk about in a little bit. What a game against Detroit, by the way, James. Good Lord. That was a time I was incredibly stressed. I, in some sense, went into this game knowing we're like the underdogs and whatnot. And I was like, well, this is weird. Let's see what happens. But man, we'll save all these thoughts for a moment. I'm doing really well because of that game. The Bucks struggled on Monday, kind of countered it out a little bit. But the Rowdies, James, what a time. What a time. So I'm doing really well tonight. I really am. James, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well because of the Rowdies game. I'm also doing pretty well because my wife and I attended the Sun game. It was their first win at home. That was fantastic. I will highly recommend going to any future home Sun games, or if they're close enough, possibly even an away game or two. And to help us out this evening, because there's so much to talk about, we asked the Rowdies if we could speak to somebody from the team. Not only did they say yes, they gave us Jordan Doherty.
Holy crap. We are speaking
to Jordan Doherty this evening to talk about not only this game versus Detroit, also the game coming up, and a couple of other things that have nothing to do with soccer at all.
Wow.
There's a lot going on in our conversation, so stay tuned for that. And Carlos, let's get into this actual episode since we have been just sticking around for the intro for so long here. But this past weekend, the Rowdies went to Michigan and they beat Detroit City on penalties. Fantastic stuff there. In our own standings, Carlos and I are both on 15 points. Eureka is in the doldrums at 12. Right now, he's going to have to be the one that jumps in the bay or jumps in a big bucket of gross socks or something. I don't know what we have lined up. We'll have to figure that out still. It's up in the air.
Yeah.
We're going to see. Our next chance for predictions is when we preview this semifinal for the Eastern Conference versus Charleston, which is coming up. And like I said, to help us do that, we will have Jordan Doherty on to talk about it. So awesome stuff there. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow RBLR Sports on all social media. I have been told by Eureka that we are now also on Blue Sky. You can join us there if that's where you are. So find us, join us, take part. We will see you there. Carlos, let's get into the quick recap of the game versus Detroit City.
James, your Tampa Bay Rowdies went in as underdogs to Detroit, Michigan, Keywear Stadium at Hamtramck. Track field, right?
Tramck,
TRAMNCK. The historic site that is now host to Detroit City FC, with incredibly rundown locker rooms that fortunately were the home to incredible Rowdy celebrations. As you can tell from the Tampa Bay Rowdy's Twitter account, go back, check that out if you haven't. That was a really fun watch. Spoiler alert, we won. Starting 11, Jordan Farr, Jordan Doherty, Freddie Kleeman, Aaron Guillen. In front of them, you had Nick Moon starting at their right wing back spot, getting the start in this first playoff game of the year. Interesting note there. Lewis Hilton, flanked by Danny Crisostomo, and out left, Blake Bodley. More up top, you had Kyle Jennings, obviously, as your forward, Manu Arteaga, and Leo Fernandez kind of playing in that attacking mid role that he's become so accustomed to, that he played in that big MVP year just a couple seasons ago.
Oh, yeah.
Good to have him back. He had a decent game himself. Came off pretty early, probably because of, you know, the fact that he's still coming back from a pretty big injury, James, but contributed certainly in his time on the field in this one. It was actually him that would get the assist, by the way, on the opening goal of the day for the Rowdies. It was a corner kick that Kyle Jennings slotted in beautifully off of one of those very typical, it's come to be, Kyle Jennings, like, flick headers backwards. I don't even know how to describe it. He just hits it backwards with his head. Incredible stuff off a corner. Really smooth. Really well done. Seems like it was pretty straight off the training ground. 1-0 Rowdies early on in this one. Starting off really, really well. Rowdies defended pretty well in this one. Detroit had several chances of their own. Jordan Farr had come up big multiple times in this game. Obviously, later on, spoiler alert, we'd get the penalties. Yeah. But during, you know, during the 90 minutes and going into extra time, Jordan Farr had a fantastic game in this one. Made several huge, huge saves, including a point blank header that would have taken the lead for Detroit in the second half. I think it was Amo, maybe, or Emumensa. But several big saves for Jordan Farr in this one that kept the Rowdies in it, gave us a chance to, despite conceding a really, really silly goal. I think it went down as a Nick Moon own goal officially. The Rowdies would take this one into extra time, struggle in overtime, not create a ton of chances in this one, but several missed opportunities on our front that never really got to full chances. This is a game where we had a couple situations where we were like 3-on-2, 4-on-2. Couldn't really find the opportunity or finalize a decent shot. Nothing particularly crazy for the Charleston keeper to save. This would make it all the way to the penalties, by the way, and it would open with two misses, right? Both squads would open with a miss, then another miss, and it wouldn't come until the fourth kick of the game, the penalty shootout. Yeah, that someone would score on this one. A wild penalty shootout that would eventually end as a 3-1 win for the Rowdies. Going into a penalty shootout and scoring one penalty will likely never win you the shootout.
So. I wonder if that has ever happened, because that would be absolutely insane. A 1-0 penalty shootout win. That would be nuts.
It's probably happened at some point in the entire history of soccer. But yeah, but certainly a chaotic penalty shootout. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Certainly a wild one in this one, but again, ultimately a victory for your Rowdy squad, who would celebrate very, very, very passionately in the locker room. So happy for these guys. All the adversity that's come their way. Big win for the Rowdies, 3-1 in penalties after a 1-1 draw. James, you predicted this one would make it all the way to penalties. You were right. What a game this one was. Okay, let's talk about it a little bit, though. I don't even know where to start with this one, James. I guess we could just start with the first half like we always do, right? That's an easy place to start. How did you see the Rowdies opening up in this one? I think, like, initially I'm thinking back into the first half. We came out pretty strong. We looked good. We looked comfortable in a really hostile environment. Obviously get the early goal. What did you see from this squad in this first half?
Yeah, it was interesting because when we spoke with Lewis Hilton last week, and I believe when we spoke with a couple of the players in the post-game press conference versus Indy, we knew that we were ultimately going to play Detroit, and a couple of them stated, just looking ahead, that we were likely going to have to play in a different kind of setup, because obviously their field changes things the way that we would usually like to play just does not work there. They have the turf. It's a smaller field on that's probably just down to the fact that it's an older stadium and they don't have a lot of room to work there. I think that we've all seen from the pictures, from the video, from everything, exactly how old the stadium is. But either way, we were going to have to change things up. So it didn't totally work the way that we probably would have wanted. And Detroit, I think, did a really good job of stifling us. They really didn't allow us to get any width with Blake Bodley and Nick Moon. Not that there was a lot to work with anyway, but they certainly prevented us from doing anything with what was with the width that was out there, if you want to put it in those silly ways. Now, the Rowdies ultimately resorted to probably the only thing that they could do in that situation, and that was a hit and hope ball, effectively just kicking it long and seeing if somebody will get on the end of it. If you ultimately read my preview article, I have used the phrase hit it in hope. So it was prevalent in this game, and it actually happened to work out for the Rowdies because we won a corner kick off of it. And that was where we got the Cal Jennings flick on header. It was beautiful. And I think that with that one, also Leo Fernandez tied Georgie Hristov for the most assists in the history of the Rowdies. I will have to double check that, but I believe so. So fantastic for both Leo Fernandez and Cal Jennings, just that one little play. I really think that this new little change to the lineup that we've had, obviously we started with a couple of different things over the course of the season that have phased their way out. Forrest Lasso phased his way out because of an injury. That one was kind of obvious. Josh Perez has been phased out of the starting lineup, not because he was doing poorly, but because Leo Fernandez is literally a USL MVP level player. And just in the last couple of games, Pacific Nyangabire has also been phased out due to an injury, and Nick Moon has become at least the momentary starter. I don't know if Pacific ends up starting in this game versus Charleston. We will obviously see. So those couple of changes have been very interesting, and I think the biggest one is Leo Fernandez. I think what Leo Fernandez brings to this team is obviously different from the role that Josh Perez was playing, so there's that. But it also allows for Danny Crisostomo and Lewis Hilton to play two different roles to what they were a little bit before, when Leo was not the starter. So all of this has contributed to us being able to do different things, slightly different in different scenarios. And here, unfortunately, it didn't super work out actually in the first half against Detroit City. But we got lucky in that our plan B, so to speak, ultimately did work out because it gave us the corner where we took the lead. We gave up the lead and they drew level. That's fair enough because we were still able to hold Detroit City out in their own stadium under the conditions that are a playing surface that they know well and nobody else does, under the playing conditions of a very tough crowd, which everyone who talked about Detroit City mentions the crowd. They always talk about how Detroit City creates a very intimidating atmosphere. And I think that that was something that we could pick up on watching the game too. So all things told, I think that we ultimately did what we needed in this game, obviously, because we got out of it. But we did what we needed because it was well played within the confines of what we were presented. So I really like the way that this is going. Carlos, you and I have hit on one term, I think, probably 1,000 times in the last 2 or 3 weeks here, and that's momentum. There's very little that gives you a confidence boost, a boost in momentum, like going into a tough game, coming out on top through penalties, because it's such a slog to win a penalty shootout. Come out on top of that on the other end, you can just see it from the team afterwards in the pictures that the team shared on all their social media channels. It's so cool, and it is so important. I think that this is going to give them a lot of confidence, and it does start with that foundation that we saw even in the first half where we weren't getting a lot done in our favor.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. All-time assist leader, Leo Fernandez, by the way, 34 assists. All-time. Rowdy's put out a fun little video a few hours ago. I think it's just a compilation of all 34 assists of his. It's pretty fun. Go take a look at that if you haven't seen that. I like you said, I think it's not ideal in terms of like what they wanted to play, right? But it worked, right? It's all you can ask for. The back line had a really great game in this one. Yeah. Again, Jordan Farr had a fantastic game in this one. He had to, which is, again, if we're talking about momentum, Jordan Farr, right? Sorry, did I cut out there for a second? Anyway, Jordan Farr, building on his performances, right? Building on this one, building that momentum, the word we keep using. This is huge going into a big game against Charleston where you're going to need to make a couple big saves at least, right? A lot of attacking power between, Markanic and Torres, right? A ton of power up top, right? Backline can play out of their minds. You're probably going to get a pretty decent look or two throughout this game. Best case scenario, right? Jordan Farr is going to need to make a pretty big save at some point in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Not a hot take, right? Not a crazy prediction, just the reality of it. That's why he's there. That's why they went out and snagged him from San Antonio, where he was the keeper of the year a couple seasons ago. I mean, this guy's good. I think he's had some, you know, shaky moments at times. I think you could kind of tell he was frustrated at times. He was upset with himself, upset with the team. But I mean, I think in this game, it showed why Jordan Farr is Jordan Farr and like why we went out and snagged him from Detroit, because he's got talent, man. And it didn't show any more. It couldn't have shown any more than it did in the penalty shootout. Again, people will say that it's all about luck. I kind of toss that out the window, to be honest. I think these penalty shootouts go so far beyond luck. And you can tell because you know when someone's taking a bad penalty kick, right? It kind of stays in the middle. It stays kind of just flat, right? It's not a great kick with a lot of power, a lot of precision. On the goalie side of things, sometimes you could say there's less pressure, right? You don't really know. You kind of just have to dive at some point. But there's so much that goes into that, the thought process, the reading a kicker, the reaction time, how long you decide to wait. And Jordan Farr seems to have a pretty good read on penalties, just generally. And then this one obviously made a couple big saves to help this team win. And big saves in moments where we really needed it, right? Because obviously, you know, first penalty of the game, Manuel Traga steps up and struggles, obviously, and doesn't knock that one away. Really, really great save from the Detroit keeper. And then they're in this moment where first round of penalties, they could really kind of start building on that save, right? Again, momentum, right? Even penalties can seem to be about momentum sometimes. You miss that first penalty, the other team comes in, knocks their penalty in, it's 1-0 early to that team, right? They can build on that. The crowd's going to be even louder than it was before. But in a really, really big moment where we missed that first penalty and we needed a save to make sure it's still even going into that second round of kicks, Jordan Farr did just that. And that was really, really cool. I mean, it was really, really huge. You could tell. I mean, he was fired up. You could tell it kind of instills something in the team. It's like, yeah, we're in this, right? The Detroit crowd kind of gets knocked out of it a little bit. Obviously, Joshua Perez steps up, doesn't go in. Keeper makes another save. I can't remember Jordan Farr saves the next one or if it's the miss. I think Jordan Farr saves that one too. And then Amo is the one that hits a crossbar later on. So Jordan Farr makes another big save in the first two kicks. Like, just incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. Again, back line played really well in this one. Contained a really quick, physical Detroit attack. That's something that is really pertinent and prevalent in this back line. Despite Forrest Lasso being out and his imposing presence, this back line is a very physical one.
Yeah.
It's, you know, physical in Jordan Doherty and Aaron Guillen are quick, but they're built. You know, they're strong guys, and they can take on these really physical attackers. Freddie Kleeman, huge guy, not as quick, but obviously has to be physical in moments when he has to. And he had a pretty decent game in this one too. And I'll be the first to say, like, Kleeman, like, I wasn't sold on what he could do for the team in the middle part of this year. He kind of got thrown into the lineup, obviously, with the Forrest Lasso situation. He's kind of struggling to find his footing. Interestingly, his first ever career goal was against the team we'll be playing this weekend in the same stadium. So hopefully he can replicate that energy. But yeah, I mean, he stepped into it. He stepped into the role, and he's obviously gotten more comfortable as the season progressed, and certainly seems to be comfortable in the time when we need him to be as comfortable as he can in that back line. Obviously, we'll talk to Jordan Doherty later. We'll talk about how they've meshed as a back line and this kind of mishmash of a season with all the injuries and moving people around. But they seem to be clicking. And I think that's my bit. We've talked a lot this season about the midfield and the attack, how good that those units are. And this one, as decent as the chances we created were, we moved the ball pretty well in the midfield, created a couple really great looks that we just couldn't really create into dangerous opportunities. Yeah. We had the looks. We had really good looks. We were moving the ball well. This game, the storyline is the back line and Jordan Farr. And obviously, I think it's easy to say that when we go to penalties and win, storyline tends to be about the keeper.
Yeah.
Tends to be. It can be like a 5-4 shootout, and it's just kind of like, wow, what a shootout. But often, it'll be about the keeper. And the Detroit keeper made a couple of great saves. Jordan Doherty, made his even when the Detroit keeper got his hand to it. But at the end of the day, Jordan Farr made that one extra save and Amo hit that crossbar. That's the difference between Detroit being in the next round and us being in the next round. So those are my takeaways. Backline, Jordan Farr, biggest storylines, but decent performance all around from this team. Obviously, Cal Jennings got the header and the goal. Leo Fernandez kept us cool in the corner where there's, a lot of angry Midwesterners yelling at him. Some really interesting characters in those stands, but Leo Fernandez does his thing, puts in a great ball, 1-0 Rowdies early on. So lots to take away from this game, but in conclusion, biggest bit for me, back line, Jordan Farr, great performances. We're going to need that against Charleston, maybe even more so than goal scoring. We need a stout back line and good saves in big moments. That's what we're going to need against Charleston. I mean, you could pull Portugal in their Euro championship. Remember, they went the entire knockout round without winning a game in regular time or extra time. They won every game in penalties. We could do that. Sure. I don't care. As long as we do it, right? As long as we win. Against a team like Charleston with all the attacking threat they have, that's what you need more than anything. Stout back line and a guy like Jordan Farr. I'm feeling really good going into this one.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. That is pretty good. Well, Carlos, I don't know that we have anything more to cover for this one other than the man of the match, which stands out, I think, to everybody. We don't really need to say it. You already know who it is. But, Carlos, I will allow you to give everyone the RBLR man of the match.
Yeah, it's one of the rare times James and I are unanimous on this. Obviously, it's Jordan Farr for the RBLR man of the match. Again, I think what I mentioned to James offline was, on top of the fact that he had a fantastic game, he's had better games, obviously, as the season's progressed. But there was not that the Rowdies social media chatter is groundbreaking or earth shattering when the folks on Facebook or Twitter start saying, Brano might be the guy, right? They're both fantastic keepers. Brano has had his moments with the squad. He had that crazy penalty save against Memphis, if you remember, in that playoff run. I know he's dealing with a bit of a knock right now. He had that start towards the end of the year as well. I think there's just generally kind of uncertainty around Jordan Farr, if nothing else. And within himself too, right? You could tell he's kind of coming out of the box, making sometimes silly plays, silly foul. He's losing track of the ball a little bit quicker than we might hope at some points in this year. But as the season has come to an end, he's kind of found his footing again, slowly, kind of under the radar, quietly. In this game, I think he announced it to the league, but also to Rowdy's fans that, by the way, I'm still Jordan Farr. And you can tell he's fired up. That save that he made, I forgot, I think it was the second penalty that he saved. When he kind of just stood there,
if you can stop a player who has not picked a corner and waited for you and shot it down the middle, expecting you to dive, I can't imagine that there are too many better moments as a goalkeeper.
Oh yeah. That was cold, right? He kind of just stared him down. He's like, yeah, he gave him the head shake. He's like, yeah, you could tell that wasn't a head shake just for him. He's like, yeah. He was giving a head shake to himself, right? He was like, yeah, I'm still that guy. He was making sure Rowdy's fans know, look, I'm still that guy, right? Look, you keep proving that to me and to the squad. Obviously, you don't owe us anything. Just give us, your best shot. But if you keep doing that against Charleston, yeah, we could do it. Absolutely. Yeah. So Jordan Farr, man of the match. Speaking of Jordans, James, we have another Jordan to talk to. It's coming up here in just a second, isn't it?
That's quite the segue, Carlos. I think that maybe we should go ahead and jump into our interview now, where we talk with Jordan Doherty. And everyone, this is the interview that we were talking about. This is the interview that we have lined up with Jordan Doherty. Thank you, Jordan, for joining us this evening. How are you doing? How are you doing in this week with a big game coming up?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So far, so good. I think it's been a good week so far in training and stuff. So I think we're just excited to get back on the pitch and get up to Charleston. Hopefully get through to the next round.
Obviously, that is definitely where all the fans would love to see the team go. And I wonder with just like training sessions this week, you don't have to go in too much detail, but how do you guys plan that out? I believe that there's like a day off right at the beginning of the week and then kind of ramping up to the game on the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, so we had a tough game on Saturday, obviously, with extra time, like going all the way through to penalties and stuff. So probably just need a little bit extra recovery. So we had this Sunday off, Monday off, and then back in today and just getting work in, ready to go on Sunday.
Gotcha. Perfect. And I know that the Champions League was today. Do you guys get together and watch that by any chance? You guys watch that as a group?
Yeah, sometimes we'll get together and not like a couple of the lads get together and watch hopefully a good game of football. Like normally one of the bigger games we'll get together and watch, but the group chat will be going off when certain teams are losing or certain teams are winning, you know. So.
I can only imagine. Yeah, there were a bunch of giant upsets today, so as much as I would love to talk with you about that and more about Irish soccer in general, we will probably have to save that for another day. We'll save that for the off season, but in the meantime, we do want to get to the 2024 season for the Tampa Bay Rowdies and get into that. Last week, we had on the Rowdies Ironman for this season, 35 starts and 35 appearances for Lewis Hilton. You, as far as I can tell, are second, though, Jordan. You have 33 starts and 33 appearances. So, like I said, I think that is the second highest on there, at least for starts. Thank you for coming on. And I wanted to get into how this season has gone for you personally and how you view it as a player with this team.
Yeah, I think it's been a season of ups and downs. One that I've enjoyed. You know, I thought we got off to a really good start. New coaching, Robbie's been brilliant. I really, really enjoyed playing under him and working under him. So I've enjoyed that aspect of it. Obviously new lads coming in and stuff. So everyone's been brilliant, been really enjoyable. Obviously we started great. We, you know, right up there with Charleston and Louisville chasing them down, and then had a bit of a downer patch, which happens sometimes in football. But I think there's a good feeling in the group. I think we've got a little bit of momentum now since the Indy game. So it's playoffs now, isn't it? You know how that goes. So three more games and we can win a championship. So I think everyone is just buzzing at the minute. It's going to be tough, but I think we've got a really good chance of doing it. You know, got really good squad, really good coach and staff. So I believe in us, and I think there's a good belief in the changing room that we can get another start, get a championship.
Well, absolutely. Carlos and I have been actually beating the drum on the quality in this roster for a long time now. So, Carlos, I will turn it over to you to carry on our interview here.
Absolutely. Jordan, again, thanks for hopping on with us. This is always a blast to chat with the folks on the team. I always like to say that James and I have a bit of a expert opinion. We can always say, we can always give our insight, and I'm a bit of a FIFA player myself, so I think I know a little bit about what it's like to have a pro career as my right back, creative player on my Xbox on the other side of my room right now here. But obviously you guys go through it day in and day out, so it's always great to have your insight on here and for all the listeners. So once again, I appreciate you joining us. We talked with Lewis a lot last week about the adversity this team has been through, the hurricanes, the injuries. I mean, obviously there's a bit of change when a new manager comes into town, even towards the end of last year, the kind of temporary manager with Nicky Law, and there's a lot of movement happening, right? But James and I have kind of said that, you know, we mentioned earlier, so much talent on this roster. It seemed like it just needed one good win to kind of get things back on track. And you said the Indy game was a good momentum boost. Obviously, this game against Detroit, even building on that momentum. So I want to ask you a little bit about this game against Detroit in particular, so we don't beat the drum too much on the hurricane stuff, so we can look ahead towards bigger and brighter things. Talk to me about the intensity of this game, because obviously this was a big one. We've mentioned with Lewis last week about how kind of gritty, intense this game would be, kind of characterizes Detroit squad. And obviously you're on that back line. What's the mindset going into this game with a team that plays kind of as physically, as quick as Detroit in a stadium that, again, kind of characterizes Detroit City, like the Keywear Stadium with its old rundown, you know, grittiness to it. What's the mindset going into a game like this one against Detroit?
Yeah, I think, you know, we knew it was going to be a really tough game. So obviously, like you said, it's a tough place to go. Detroit have obviously got a really good fan base, so they create a great atmosphere, which as a player, that's super enjoyable to play in. Hostile, but enjoyable to play in, you know. But yeah, we knew it was going to be a tough game. We knew it was going to be a game of like man for man, win your battles type thing. And I think on the night, we've done a great job of that. In my opinion, I think we handled the game quite well because it was never going to be the prettiest game in the world. But I think the game plan that we had was pretty solid, like, and I think it worked. And we knew it was going to be tough, but it was just a battle, you know, and I think the lads were well up for it. I think that was the biggest plus, was that everyone was willing to just look at the man opposite them and, you know, beat them in every aspect. So I think we done that on the night.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we mentioned the indie game maybe kind of being a point of momentum. Maybe going a little bit backwards to, you know, kind of this awkward stretch we had in the middle of the year. Not really finding our footing. What's it like having a game like that indie game before the playoffs? Because James and I talked a lot about momentum, that it's kind of like one of those intangible things you can't really calculate for when you're looking at the stats. You get that big win against Indy, obviously on that Wednesday, that draw against Hartford, but you end the year with a big win against a really good Indy squad, 3-0 at home. What does that do for the team's mentality, do you think, going into this game against Detroit?
Yeah, momentum is huge, especially when you're going into the playoffs. I think, like you said, the rough patch that we went through, I think as a team, I think we knew the quality that we had and we knew how good we can be. Sometimes in football, these things happen, but I think the most important thing is like showing some resilience and kind of sticking to what you know and doing the right things day in and day out, which I think we've done well. And then I think that Hartford game before Indy was actually, you know, we conceded early, got back into the game, conceded again. You could have dropped the heads and stuff, but I think the group showed real good resilience and we ended up tying the game. But to come back twice after that kind of tough run we had was a good sign for me and the group. And then I think obviously Indy, you know, we can be that good on any given day. We've got the talent, we've got the players, and I think we stuck to the game plan and it worked. So I think for us, it's just trusting in what we're doing, keep being resilient, and the results will come for us because we've got that much talent within the group. So, but yeah, it's always great, you know, to go into momentum or to go into the playoffs with momentum. You know, a 3-0 win against Indy, never an easy thing to do, and you know that just gave us a confidence boost, and we believe in ourselves every week. But it's nice to kind of have that result behind you going into the playoffs, you know.
Absolutely. And let me ask you about again hopping back to the Detroit game. There's so much to talk about in this game, and I think we could spend like an hour, 2 hours with you talking about this, but for the sake of keeping it short, I want to ask you of most interest to me, stepping up to the line to take a penalty. I always love talking about this because I can't imagine there's a much more like dramatic moment in a professional athlete's career than stepping up to take a penalty in like a crucial situation like that, right? Yeah. You step up there, kick the ball, obviously makes it into the back of the net. Can you just like, I think this is kind of an aspect I've always liked to break down a little bit. Can you just talk about what the thought process is when you're going up to take such a, you know, pivotal 50-50 really opportunity to kind of essentially push this team into the next round?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is mental, you know, like that's the first penalty shootout I've been a part of, but I think a lot of it is mental, you know, just like getting around the lads and giving them confidence. They give you confidence. And I think it's fully mental, you know, not rushing it. People have different techniques. You know, I've got my own technique, go up, take a deep breath. I think to take your time is important and kind of just get in that zone and kind of like be in the moment, but like block out the situation, you know, because obviously it's a high pressure situation, but people have got different kind of cues and ways of getting into their own space, and that's what I've done, and thankfully hit the net. So I think it's just a lot of it is, I'd say 75% of it is a mental game, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously it can be a long walk up, you know? So it's a lot of it is mental and just trusting in what you've practiced and what you've kind of done your whole life, and just getting into that mindset, and then, you know, hopefully goes in for you. And luckily it did. So
absolutely. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And again, it's something I always like to talk about, because I think this squad in particular is a team with a lot of like fiery characters on the field, which is awesome to see, right? You have a Lewis Hilton in the midfield. I'm picturing Aaron Guillen after the Cal Jennings goal, shushing the crowd in the corner. There's a lot of fiery personality. And I think it's kind of interesting to think about how you guys might need to kind of like lock in, zone it all out for a moment like that. So thanks for that insight. James, take it away before I keep asking about this game, because what a roller coaster this was.
It was, and I appreciate you bringing up the penalty in particular, because that is a super important thing to highlight on. I won't continue down that one, but again, without asking you to give too much away here, I would like to move into the Charleston one. Now, you guys had two games against Charleston this season, obviously. The first one was a 4-2 win, which was incredible. I remember so much about that game and how that was also a bit of an emotional roller coaster. And then there was the one that was unfortunately more of a downer, a 3-1 loss away in Charleston. So there is that caveat. Now we're playing Charleston away from home, hopeful that there will be a good traveling support that goes with the team here. How do you guys prepare for the situation that you have? And then I'll get into the players specifically, but how do you prepare mentally just to go away from home in a playoff game? It's obviously one and done if you go out, one and done to move on. And it seems nerve-wracking from my end.
Yeah, I mean, these are the type of games that every player in the change room wants to play in, you know. These are the easiest games to kind of G yourself up for, because
yeah.
You know, it's big. It's a pressure moment. Like you said, it's one and done. So I think these are the games that really get you excited when you want to play in. And I think going to Charleston is going to be tough. Obviously, we lost their 3-1 last time. They've got some really good players, but we've beaten them before. And I think, you know, we will go there with focusing on ourselves and focusing on our game plan, and we'll go to win. You know, we're not here to take part. We're here to go and win a championship. So whether that's in Charleston or in Louisville or Rhode Island, wherever it's going to be, I think we've got to go and remember what we're playing for, which is a championship. So we'll go with that mentality that we need to go there and win, because that's what we have to do. So I think the lads are going to be well up for it. It's not going to be a hard game to get up for. So we just got to focus on ourselves and perform and see what happens on the night.
I appreciate that. Again, appears to be a pretty common theme that it's a mental thing. A lot of things in the sport ultimately come down to that. How do you guys plan to, not with tactics or anything, don't give that away, but how do you guys plan to shut down a Charleston attack that is obviously very strong with a player like Nick Markanich? He's broken the scoring record, so he's obviously a big threat here. What's the main goal, other than just trying to make sure that, I guess, everyone is performing at their top level?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got great players all over the field. That's why they're right up there in the league. So, you know, we're going to have certain things that we'll try and implement in the game that can nullify their attack or certain players. And then, like I said before, I think the best form of defense is attack, you know. So I think when we're on the ball and that kind of stuff, they can't score. So I think a lot of it is going to be focusing on us and what we can actually do in the game. Because when we're doing what we're good at and what we know we can do, I think it's going to nullify a lot of what they can do and what they're good at. So yeah, we're just going to have to, on the night, we're going to have to be at it, of course, like deal with these players in certain situations, 1v1 situations or crosses in the box and that type of stuff. But I think focusing on us and trying to implement our game plan is going to be huge on the night, and hopefully we can do that.
And my last question before I'll turn it back over to Carlos here quickly is just to talk to me about how you guys as a defensive unit have come together this season. It was originally Aaron Guillen, Forrest Lasso, and then yourself at the back line with Jordan Farnett. Forrest Lasso, unfortunately, tore his ACL, but Freddie Kleeman has stepped up there. So how have you guys coalesced to try and come together and not only make up for Forrest Lasso's absence, but also bring this team forward and give the attackers the platform that they could go on and, you know, not have to worry about what's going on behind them?
Yeah, I think Lasso's would be a big miss in any team, you know. He's been brilliant. Every year I've played him at the Rowdy, he's been excellent. So he's always going to be a big miss for any defense. But, you know, I think as a back three, it was about gelling, getting together and getting to understand each other as a unit. We obviously had a tough patch, but I think it's important that we defend as a team as well, you know. I think that's when we're at our best, when we're front foot, when we're defending high up the field, getting pressed on. I think that's when we're at our best. But I think me, Freddie and Aaron, we've built up a really good bond and good relationship over the season, and I've enjoyed playing with them. So I think we're going to have to really be on our game on Saturday and for the rest of the playoffs to make sure we bring a championship. So that's where our focus is at. I think we can play a huge role, and hopefully it can be enough to get us there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan, I want to zoom out again one more time, just kind of take a look at the playoffs as a whole. Obviously, across the league, there are some pretty good games, some interesting results and whatnot. But more specific to the Rowdies, this is kind of a relatively unique and new situation for us coming into the playoffs as the sixth place team. Yeah. You know, this is a squad that's finished like top three. We've been very fortunate to finish even up the top in the last several years here. And we talked a little bit about this with Lewis, about kind of the mentality going into the playoffs as less so being the target, right? Not really having that target on your back, maybe being in some sense the underdog, right? What does that do for the locker room in terms of, you know, understanding that you're probably going to have to play most, if not all, of these games away from home, traveling a bit more than maybe you'd like, in theory, maybe up to four games in a row away from home, taking it all the way to the championship, right? How do you prepare for that? Does that kind of like light a fire under the team? Is it neutral? Am I overthinking it? Do you know what I mean? Does that do anything to the team?
Yeah, I think for me personally, I know it lights a fire, you know, when people call you underdogs or they kind of bet against you. I think it does for a lot of lads, you know. I think the Rowdies are, you know, you're expected to win at this club. It's probably the biggest club in the league, so you know you're expecting to win here. It's expected of us in the change room, the staff and the fans. So I think that drives us, you know. I think when we came in first day of preseason, the goal was to win a championship. You know, we've made playoffs, obviously not probably in the league position we would have wanted or imagined, but I think the most important thing in the USL is to make the playoffs and give yourself a chance. And I think we got a really good chance. We've put ourselves in a good position. We've got good momentum. You know, we've got everyone fit and healthy, ready to go. So I just think we're in a great position right now, you know, and we'll give it a good go. And I believe if we do that, we perform well, I think we've got a great chance of bringing a championship home from wherever it may be.
Absolutely. I think it's some interesting parallels, I think, with the Phoenix Rising team that won it all last year, right? Obviously, Manu Arteaga, part of that squad. I think it's kind of interesting to have a guy like him on this team who kind of knows what it's like to play from that situation, obviously knows what it's like to win it from that spot. So I think James and I, you know, and seeing the games and kind of in the middle portion of the year, things were a bit slower, right? Kind of just not really finding our footing, maybe body language, like kind of the guys looking a little bit down after the games, obviously not getting the results you want. But obviously after that Detroit game, right, I think the team account put out a fun video I think everybody enjoyed, the celebrations and in the very rundown keyword locker rooms. From what it looks like. Can you just share what it was like being in that moment, like kind of zooming out from the playoffs, zooming out from the game that's coming up next, but just kind of it seems like, living in that moment, celebrating that win just with the guys, that camaraderie in there. I saw Forrest Lasso in that picture. You know, he's with the team. Mm-hmm. Can you just share what it was like in that moment, kind of enjoying that with the guys?
Yeah, I think it's important to enjoy them moments, because them moments, you know, they don't come around too often. So I think you've obviously got the week after in mind, but I think that night, you know, you got to enjoy it. You know, we've gone to Detroit as so-called underdogs, and, you know, beat them in a tough environment and a tough game. You got to enjoy that, you know. And obviously, these are guys that you work with day in, day out, and, you know, when you take probably a giant leap towards, you know, it's only four games. When you knock off one of them games, I mean, you know, that's an achievement in itself. So I think it's important to enjoy them. And obviously, it just, you look at it now, it shows like the togetherness in the squad, you know. You can see it from the videos, from that type of stuff. The guys are enjoying being here, enjoying being around each other. And, you know, that's a good sign of a team. And hopefully we can bring that camaraderie into the Charleston game and take another step closer to a championship.
Absolutely. I could tell you enjoyed it on Twitter after the game too.
Oh yeah. I was waiting for that one all week.
Yeah. Yeah. You had that one bookmarked ready to tag USL. So.
Oh yeah. You better believe it.
Yeah. I actually had a question about that, Jordan. I know that there are a couple of somewhat famous instances. I hope as a professional player, you would probably stay away, or I assume, I guess I don't know, but I would assume that you guys mostly stay away from like the media as it were. But is that something that maybe the coach printed out and put it on the locker room wall or something like that? Because there have been a couple of famous cases of stuff like that. I know Austin did it during the year last year, but maybe that's not Robbie Nielsen's style.
No, I think it's just a bit of fun, you know. I think I've seen it, and, you know, obviously a few of the lads in the change room see it. And like I said, when you see that and you got people betting against you, that just lights a fire, you know. So,
absolutely.
End of the day, it's just a bit of fun, but it was nice to obviously to beat Detroit and kind of prove a couple of people wrong. So, hopefully we can do more of that on Saturday, because I'm sure there'll be some people betting against us, but, you know, that'll only help us, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, well, the squad has a recent history of pulling off, I think, some interesting results against teams that, you know, supposedly might be underdogs against. I know when I went to Louisville in that 2020 season, that was another instance where I don't remember who it was, but I think it was all it was from the USL website, actually, that they all picked Louisville to win. They were on an incredible home winning streak. It seemed like they were unstoppable. And obviously, you guys went in there and knocked them off at home. And, their first season in the new stadium. That was a good time for me personally, I'll tell you what. So good history of knocking off teams that, you know, we get picked against. So I'm looking forward to this Charleston one. Because, again, I'm sure there'll be plenty of doubters out there for this one as well. James, you have anything else you want to wrap us up with? Because I have so many questions. I think we could take the whole hour with Jordan.
Yeah, like you said, for the sake of keeping it a little bit shorter, we won't keep you all evening. So I'll wrap it up with a couple of quick fire questions, and then I'll turn it over to Carlos for his quick fire, because he's got some other ones lined up. But my first one, just to start, very simple: Ireland or Florida? Where would you rather live?
Oh, don't think you can beat the Florida weather.
Well, you say that, but obviously there have been a couple of moments this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Some minor things.
I love living in Florida, you know. Obviously, I miss my family and stuff, but yeah, Florida's top.
Okay. Zooming in a little bit more then, Tampa or St. Pete?
That's a good one.
St. Pete.
Okay. All right. That's two St. Pete's in a row, Carlos. This is interesting.
Yeah. Did Lewis say St. Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lewis lives right downtown, but I spend way more time in St. Pete than Tampa, so
I
prefer St. Pete.
Lewis seems to live in a nice area right there on Central, you mentioned, so it's a cool area.
Yeah, so, he's got a good spot.
Nice. James, any more? I only have one.
Next question was just, growing up, who was your favorite team? And it could be a local team in Ireland, it could be a team from outside Ireland, obviously, but who was your favorite team growing up?
Manchester United. My brother my whole family pretty much were like Liverpool supporters and that. And my brother was a Man U fan, so he, from as far back as I can remember, he got me into football, and he threw a Man U jersey at me and made me wear it. So yeah, Man U.
There you go. That can be how it happens. And who was your favorite player growing up?
I mean, I've always kind of said Steven Gerrard, even though he played for Liverpool, but he was just me playing midfield growing up, and he was unreal. I loved watching him. Him, Roy Keane, probably from an Irish aspect. Obviously, I would have been young when he was kind of really like playing the majority of his games. But you know, even at the minute right now, I love Roy Keane. I love his punditry. I love watching clips of him, games of him. You know, so probably them two.
I like that. Those are some pretty good answers. Very, very good throwbacks. Very good throwbacks.
You can't go wrong with them too, can you?
No, not really. Yeah. Carlos, up to you now.
Jordan, I have one question for you. Does everybody in Ireland just pretend that Guinness tastes good, or do you guys actually like it? Because I can't figure it out. I really can't. What's the deal with that?
You're not the first person to ask this. I used to hate drinking Guinness. I used to hate it, but I'll tell you what, like, if you get a proper Guinness in Irish or in Ireland, like, it's completely different. I would never drink a Guinness here now knowing how it tastes in Ireland.
Okay.
If you're ever in Ireland, you Guinness.
All right.
Always a Guinness now.
Maybe that's the difference. I'm sure it probably tastes better the closer you
get. You can't drink Guinness from a can.
No.
That's what I've seen here, and I could never do it. I think if I tried that, I would hate it. But a proper pint of Guinness back home is good.
First time I tried it was from a can because I didn't know any better. I'm on an uncultured Floridian, right, from Tampa. I spent most of my life here or there. And I was like, I was like, man, like, what the hell?
There's certain ways to pour it. You got to, like, pour 3/4, wait 2 minutes, pour the rest in. Like, it's a process. Scientific approach to it, you know. And I don't know it, but I know it tastes good. Absolutely. I know that much.
All right. That's an important way to end it, James. I think I'm done.
All right. Yeah, that is a good way to end it. I'll keep that in mind because I had a similar opinion to Carlos. But thank you, Jordan, for joining us. I'll keep that for the future when I get to Ireland, and hopefully it will be after the Rowdies win in this game and ultimately through the championship. Carlos, anything else for you?
No, let's tell the front office to take a preseason trip to Ireland. It'd be a good time.
There we go.
We did that. We went to England back, 2014, 2015. We'd hop over to Ireland.
Then we get RBLR Sports sponsored trip to follow them, right? That's how it goes, Eureka. I'm sure he's got that in the budget.
It's in the contract, right? That's what we signed. about work travel.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right, Jordan.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all for having me, right? Have a good night. Thank you. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
And everyone, that was our interview with Jordan Doherty. Obviously, a very great time talking with him. We love when we can talk to any Rowdies players and get a little bit of insight. Get a little bit of insight on Guinness while we're at it. You know, nothing wrong with that. I think that it's something to keep in mind whenever you're traveling or whenever you happen to see a can of Guinness. You can maybe leave that behind and remember that it's better when it's not in a can.
Or take it with you and pour it in a glass.
There you go.
Yeah, look, it's an important question to ask. I'm glad I had him on just a little bit longer to walk through that with me. We always get to the most important questions at the end of the interview.
Yes, exactly.
As you can tell, if there's one thing to take away from this, when you listen to future RBLR content, as I'm sure you've come to know, stick around to the end of the interview for the most riveting, the most intense, the most groundbreaking questions. Next week, you know, pending a win, right, and a great result, hopefully, we chat with another player. Hopefully, we'll get into the real intense stuff. It's about
politics. We need to get Pacific Nyangabire's Australian beer recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that. We can talk about Australian politics too. We'll just talk about international affairs. Like, there's a lot going on, James. There's a lot going on. One of those things that's going on, James, talking about goings on.
Another good segue.
Going ons. Charleston, South Carolina. Lovely city, by the way. To this day, the nicest people I've ever interacted with in my life are in Charleston. When I went out there several seasons ago now. Tampa has I think the second nicest people in this country as a city. Charleston, number one. That being said, I wish them nothing but the worst on Sunday at 3 p.m. as your Tampa Bay Rowdies take on the historic Charleston Battery in the less historic but still pretty cool stadium, Patriots Point. I miss their old stadium, like kind of the charm it had. It had that old pub in there with all that cool memorabilia.
Yeah,
one of the first soccer specific stadiums in this country. That stadium. So, yeah. Either way, we're playing at Charleston. We're playing in Charleston. If you recall, last time we played them over there, did not go too hot. As we talked about, Jordan, it was a 3-1 loss. Freddie Kleeman got the lone goal of the night. Hopefully, we can get some replication. That's a word, right? Hopefully, we get another goal from him in this one. Why not? Right? We need all the goals we can get. Charleston naturally is in pretty good form, but they kind of maybe didn't get by Pittsburgh as comfortably as some might thought. They got by with a 1-0 win at home in this first round. Nick Markanik got the game-winning goal. Not in typical Nick Markanik fashion, by the way. It was a header, kind of diving left of the post, flicking it on. Really lovely goal, great cross. Nick Markanik now has 29 goals on the year so far. So, yeah, as you can imagine, he's probably a guy we should keep an eye on in the attack. He's decent enough at forward. So, yeah, potential score plenty of goals, obviously, with this guy. But, again, eked out a 1-0 win against Pittsburgh in this one. Pittsburgh's a decent squad. Nothing particularly crazy. I thought this one might be a bit more lopsided. But, honestly, I think it's a pretty good indicator that the Rowdies can go in there and establish their own game, just basing off of what I saw in the little bit I saw of that game. Anyway, beatable team is what I'm trying to say. Latest lineup. Very interesting. Adam Grinweiss in net, Nathan Dos Santos, Graham Smith, Mark Segbers, and Jay Chapman are at the back. James, you noted here that we usually see Segbers at right back and Leon Larcher at center back. Aaron Malloy and Chris Allen are typically in the midfield behind Nick Markanik, Arturo Rodriguez, and Juan Torres. Jackson Conway is a name you might remember from his goal-scoring days at Atlanta United 2. He seems to always score a goal against us and the most annoying fashion when we're playing a team against that we should be every time in that Atlanta United 2 squad. Jackson Conway started up top in their last few games. So keep an eye on this guy. He's been starting in place of MD Myers and not coming off the bench as we've seen him do throughout a majority of this year, I'd say.
Yeah.
Myers came off the bench. Like I said, he has 14 goals on the year. So I think that's pretty interesting. Not particularly keen on the details of the end of the Charleston season. I don't know if he's kind of fallen out of form. Maybe there's just a tactical reason for Jackson Conway to get the start over him. But honestly, I'm okay with MD Myers being on the bench. Like generally, I feel like that's a good thing for us. So, hey, if they do that, why not run with it? Again, Markanik is only behind. Sorry, MD Myers is only behind Nick Markanik in goal scoring. Torres has 7 assists as well as 7 goals. He had a barn burner of a game against us when we played in Tampa Bay. He's so annoying. He scored a banger of a goal, and he talks a lot of smack. So if you're a Rowdy fan traveling, make sure you get in his head early and often. He seems to respond to it. Hey, maybe you distract him in this one. There's some low film study for the traveling fan. Get in this guy's head early and often. Squad with a lot of attacking prowess. They move quick. They move the ball well. They score a lot of goals. They need to be contained. Pittsburgh might have given us a little bit of a template, you could say, for how to do that. Obviously, they went in there and only got scored on once off of a pretty beautiful cross, but not a ton of big chances for Charleston in this one. I think the FOT Mob stats had it as 2 big chances, quote unquote. Pittsburgh actually outshot Charleston. For what that's worth, and possession was about even. So this was a game that seemed like it was relatively open for Pittsburgh to even go out and get the equalizer, get a win. Charleston is still Charleston. It's a very good-looking team. We beat them at home, though. It's a team that we've beat before, and it's a team that looks maybe a bit more vulnerable than I thought they would be at this point in the playoffs. Obviously, a good sign for us. I'm not saying it's going there and be an easy win, but just something to keep in mind. Take a look back yourself at this game against Pittsburgh if you want. Pretty interesting highlight rewatch. But again, Pittsburgh, decent performance against Charleston, came out with a 1-0 loss, but beatable is this Charleston team. That's my conclusion from this one. James, you noted that Aaron Malloy is like a quarterback. So how do we contain their QB one? What do you think?
Well, I think actually something to take into mind, take into consideration here, keep in the back of our minds, something that Jordan Doherty said in our interview, which was that as good as we are defensively, which is pretty good, I would say, we do have probably the better option of not just like defending. I'm putting it in very, very basic terms here, but sitting back and absorbing pressure from Charleston, that is probably not the best way to handle Charleston. In his mind, it seems like the best way to handle Charleston would be to go on the attack and to take the game to Charleston and actually put them on the back foot. Probably that's the best way to do it. And the best way to prevent Aaron Malloy from having a good game is to put him under as much pressure as possible, possibly put one or two players on him if you can at any given time. Make sure that Aaron Malloy has his hands full even when he's trying to take the ball, turn, and find somebody to pass to. So that's something to keep in mind. Maybe as opposed to sitting back and defending all game, which is probably not something that the Rowdies would like to do anyway, probably not something that they're all that adept at as a team, we should try to put them under as much pressure attacking wise as we can. And we should try to build out our own regular playing style. We're going to have the ability to do that here a lot better than I think we did in Detroit. So that's going to be important to keep in mind. It is a regular playing surface. It's at least a bigger field than the one that they have in Hamtramck, even if it's not as big as the one that we're used to here in the Bay Area. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot to take into consideration, but I do like Jordan Doherty's opinions on the way that we kind of handle them. Shutting down Nick Markanich is probably impossible for 90 minutes, but you can limit him. And if you can limit him, that's going to give you the best chance to get out of this game. Nick Markanich is in the form of his life. He's in the form of a lot of players' lives, you could say. I don't know many people in the USL Championship, obviously, who have scored as many as he has, let alone other leagues. So I think that he will get at least one good chance, one big thing in this game. Just as you mentioned, Carlos, if Jordan Farr can come up with a really big moment in a key moment, or a really big save in a key moment, a really big save in a key moment will take us a long way into actually getting a result out of this. I think that probably one of the better results that we can get will be moving on with penalties again. But you know who did that last year? Phoenix Rising in the final. Keep that in mind. They are at least vulnerable in those scenarios. And Phoenix was the away team back then too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that looks like a Charleston team that had the final like in the palm of their hands.
I don't think anybody had Phoenix winning that game.
No. And to some extent I can sympathize, right? we've been there. But yeah, I mean, obviously Phoenix beat them over there in penalties. Obviously this is a team we've already beat this season at home, right? Frankly, with all due respect to the Charleston Battery fan base, it's not like a particularly intimidating atmosphere or anything. Like,
no,
you should be able to go in there and kind of tune that out pretty well. Again, just the fact, right? It's what it is. It's a nice little stadium. It's not like too huge or anything. It's not very like imposing or threatening or intimidating like atmosphere. I think going in and losing 3-1 this season over there was not like atmosphere. It was just we were outplayed by a really, really good team. So it's a field that's more natural, right? It's more normal to what we're accustomed, which is good for us, obviously. In a place that we've won before, you know, we've won before in Charleston, right? Done it before against, you know, not as great Charleston teams, but we have history of going over there and being able to get the job done. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to, based on how we look, based on the grit that the team was playing with, if nothing else. I could see a really, really gritty performance in this one as well. I don't think Charleston is anywhere near as physical a team as Detroit in terms of just being like putting a body on you or being as aggressive. I think that's kind of where our strength might be in this one. Charleston plays very quick. You kind of make the game a bit choppy, right? I think that'd be beneficial for us. Obviously, you want to play the game kind of in our style, holding the ball a lot, moving the ball to the wings, attacking, exciting soccer that the Rowdies like to play. Ideally, that's what you do, right? Jordan Doherty said that. We got to kind of take the game to them. But there will almost certainly be moments in this game where Charleston has extended possessions. They have the ball for a long time. That's just how they play. It's not because we want to, but there'll be moments of, I don't know, several extended minutes, right, where they have the ball. They're kind of pushing up. We have Arteaga, you know, defending outside of the box, right? It's kind of just a defensive game at some point for us. I think that will inevitably come in this one. That's where you make the game a bit choppy, right? That's where you use the physicality of the guys on our back line, the physicality of a Lewis Hilton to really let, you know, Aaron Malloy know, like, hey, I'm here. You know, this is my ball too, right? So I think that's where you might find our advantage in this one as well. So all that being said, I think there's a really good outlook in this game for us. They look not as unbeatable as they did earlier this year, because that's such an incredible, like, unsustainable level of play that they were running with for a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially offensively. Nick Markanik is still scoring goals at an incredible rate, but again, even that, like, we'll have to slow down at some point, right? I feel pretty decent about this one. I'm excited for the game. I think it'll be a really good one. And I think we have a pretty decent look, James, in this one.
All right. Well, I guess that means that we should probably hop into our predictions. Carlos, go ahead. I will let you start it.
Absolutely. I think this is a game that will end as a draw. Okay. I'm going to say it's a 1-1 draw in this one, like the Detroit game. But I'm going to say, I don't really have a reason for this. I'm just going to be my bold prediction. Let's say we win this one in extra time before it gets to penalties.
Oh.
It'll be a silly win. It'll be a Freddie Kleeman header off of a corner. It'll be something kind of random like that. So it'll be a 2-1 win after extra time for us. It'll be 1-1 going into extra time. I could see this being a really choppy game as well. I think that'll be beneficial to us. The back line is playing really well. If you hold Charleston to one goal, I think you have a really great look in this one. Because, again, our attack can score more than one. I think on the right day, Cal Jennings has two goals by himself. So this is a good outlook for this one, genuinely. I'm not saying that because I'm just biased. Like, I am biased, but I think there's a good outlook for this game. We know who we're playing against. This won't be a surprise. Anything they do won't be a surprise.
Yeah.
So I think for that reason, it might be choppy. And for them, anything we do won't be a surprise either, right? So I think that's why it could be a pretty choppy one. Maybe we're defending for a little bit more than we'd like, but we get a goal on this one. This one goes to extra time, and I could see us winning before it gets to penalties.
That would be good. I am going to reuse my prediction from last week because I only got 1 point out of it. I would like all three prediction points. So I'm going to say that we go 2-2 draw, win on penalties, move on to the final, probably against Rhode Island, not Louisville. Get them. Last one, we have Eureka with a 1-0 win prediction for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So there we go, folks. Those are your predictions getting into this week. If you have any more, obviously you can respond to us on social media and everything. Please do that. Carlos, let's get into our extra time segment real fast. If you want some, let's say, soccer instead of politics going on in your life, there's a lot of soccer going on. You can watch a ton of it. There is the UEFA Champions League, the UEFA Europa League, the UEFA Conference League. All of those are on right now, so you can get those. There's the Asian Champions League, also on Paramount Plus. If you already have access to the regular Champions League in UEFA, then you also have the Asian Champions League. if you want it. I have been watching it. It's cool. Actually pretty fun. Ronaldo scored a bunch of goals in this competition. That's not my cup of tea, but fair enough. There is the NWSL playoffs going on. Cool there. I don't have a team in the NWSL.
Oh, Spirit.
Yes, there we go. Carlos has a team in the NWSL. I do not. I have a team in the USL Super League. So if you would like to watch the Sun, you can also do that, at least on a replay, if you have Peacock, because they got their first home win this past weekend. That was awesome, and we got some insight coming from the RBLR Sun team later on this week. Please pay attention to that as well. Carlos, there's some other news in the Tampa Bay area related to soccer, although it's not for this week specifically.
Yeah, I just want to throw this in here before we wrap up because it was a talking point on Twitter.
Quite a talking point.
I think this is so stupid, and I'm sorry because I think Rob and the Tampa Bay Sports Commission have done a really great job. They're really good at their job, frankly. Like, they do a good job of bringing like good signature events to the Bay Area. They bring in like Final Fours, college sports tournaments, big key things to the area. They actually do bring a lot of tourists and book out hotels and the thousands and thousands. Obviously, the Super Bowl. They bring in a huge, you know, events that actually do a lot of stuff for the community and the tourism and everything. This Orlando City Inter Miami preseason BS that they got going on is stupid for a variety of reasons that we could spend 20 minutes talking about. But I just want to reiterate how dumb this is from just multiple standpoints. Nobody's going to come to this. The target is Tampa area people who don't know anything and kind of want to watch Messi and hope Messi's not going to play. I hate to break the news to anybody that's thinking about going to this.
I'd be shocked if he actually played.
Messi's not. There's actual like competitive competitions happening around that time too. I think it's the CONCACAF Champions is happening around there as well.
Yeah.
If you're a gambling person, this is a gamble is what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
And the odds are not great for you. Messi's not going to play in this one. I'm sorry. I'm going to put it out there. And even if we're riding this tale of like Messi momentum, Orlando, really? I mean, independent of how much I dislike the team in general, right? Those fans aren't coming over here to Tampa to watch a game that they get to watch in the regular season. That actually means something, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to pay those tickets. I don't know how many people are actually going to go to this game. I could be entirely wrong, and it's like packed because people just don't know any better, and they go to see Messi.
Honestly, I think there's the distinct possibility that people hear that Messi could be involved, buy a ticket, show up, and then are disappointed that he's not there. We obviously saw that in Hong Kong once.
Yeah. I think you're setting it, Rob, if you're listening to this for whatever reason, you're awesome at your job, man. Keep up the good work. But yeah, this was just a swing and a miss, honestly. I don't really know what's the deal. Like, even if you do get a decent crowd, let's say like 25,000, right? You get like almost half the stadium full, which I think might be a stretch, honestly. You're setting yourself up for a lot of angry people that want refunds. And there's certainly not people coming in for this that are going to book out hotels in the thousands. This is like he kind of lined it up as if it was one of these like key events going on, which they have. Again, they have a lot of key events coming through Raymond James Stadium and everything. And I was like, this big event, you know, you have the college like and the Orlando City Inter Miami preseason. Like, what? It's so random. And again, I could talk about this forever about how stupid this is. But my last thing is, again, I don't know why you would be listening to this, Rob, but if you are, it's smack in the middle of USL preseason too. This is like, if nothing else, if you want to do this whole thing, if you want to ride the Messi momentum, you would get everything in theory you're looking for, which I don't think you're going to get, but you would get everything you're looking for in theory. And the Rowdies would get that boost.
The local team.
Right. And honestly, I would buy a ticket for that game because it's the Rowdies. I don't care who they're playing, right? But bunch of boost of publicity too in the local Bay Area to your local soccer team. You care about Tampa Bay sports. You want to do something cool like this and you want to get people to come to see Messi, supposedly, right? Fine. I'll ignore everything else I said. But if you still want to do that, there's a local soccer team that could use the boost always in the USL, right? It's not a league game, you know, like it's a preseason game. Why not? Like, it seems like a swing and a miss on multiple levels. And again, ignoring everything else, the business side of it, that honestly, like, that I don't see, right? The cultural aspect of it, that I think it's insane, this Messi mania, Fandango, ignoring all of that, right? If nothing else, like, I think it's vastly overlooking and frankly disrespectful to the local soccer team that plays in Tampa Bay and competes for titles and has done a pretty good job in the last several years and has its own fan base. People go to these games. Like, people know the Rowdies now. It's not like it was 10 years ago. And it's like, oh, man, the Rowdies. Like, I thought they were extinct. This is a different time in the Rowdies' history. I think it's really silly. And I frankly, if nothing else, disrespectful. So, Rob, again, swing and a miss on this one. Let's regroup for next year.
here's what I'm hoping. If Inter Miami and Orlando is the table setter, because we're almost certain Messi won't be there, then let's see. Let's see the Tampa Bay Rowdies versus. Let's see the Tampa Bay Rowdies versus one of those Brazilian teams that came to play at Al Lang last preseason, and they packed out the stadium. Let's see something like that. Let's see something where the Rowdies get their due.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had the Florida Cup in this area between Tampa and Orlando and Fort Lauderdale multiple times at this point. You could go out, and again, you don't even know much about soccer. If you're Rob, and this is all a business, which it is, just looking at it from a business standpoint, I really don't see the benefit of this game at all. But if this is just, if we're just looking at it exclusively as a business, you want this to bring the most money as possible while also, you know, contributing to the growth of the Tampa area, as he's claiming, right? There's so many things you could do that involve the Rowdies that bring up this community as a whole. You know, I think he used the metaphor like a rising tide lifts all the ships. This isn't rising any tide. It's a preseason game that Messi won't play in. Nobody's like sticking around the area because of this game, or frankly, even coming from out of town to watch this game. Like, no Orlando fans making the drive. No Miami fan is making that drive. You can see it from Twitter. I mean, Orlando fans were like, this is stupid. The Miami fans don't really exist in the same way, frankly.
They're not fans of Miami.
Yeah, and even I think the couple that I did see tweet stuff were saying like, this is stupid. Like, why would I do that? So anyway, all that being said, this is a huge swing and a miss. I know we spent a little longer than I thought we would on this, but I think it's worth mentioning because it was kind of somewhat the talk of the town yesterday in Rowdy circles. So disrespectful to the Rowdies or nothing else, but again, beyond that, economically, looking at it from like a business standpoint, the tourism aspect, there is no aspect in this one. Do you know what I mean? That's what I was trying to say. Okay. That's my and my thoughts there. I forgot to mention, by the way, that we didn't mention at all any of the USL results from around the league. Just quickly, by the way, obviously Rhode Island is playing Louisville in the next one. Rhode Island looks really, really good.
Yeah.
They look really good.
JJ Louisville, with a hat trick too.
Mm-hmm. Louisville looks decent too, but they struggled against a frankly not great North Carolina squad. At home, keep an eye out for this potential upset. Obviously, it'd take a lot, but keep an eye on this one. I think you could be in for a good game, if nothing else, between Rhode Island and Louisville. Rhode Island looks really, really good. Las Vegas beat Sacramento on penalties. That was a fun one. Orange County knocked off Memphis away to Memphis. Again, Charleston obviously beat Pittsburgh. Louisville got away with a bit of a scare against North Carolina 3-2. The Switchbacks beat the Roots. They continue their incredible form 2-0. Indy lost to Rhode Island, obviously 2-3, and New Mexico hosted Phoenix. I jinxed Phoenix Rising online by saying they looked really good, and they lost 2-1 after scoring the first goal. Pretty good weekend of USL sports, of USL playoffs. This week, I'm sure we'll have some great games as well. Hopefully, that includes a good win for your Rowdies and a really good game between Rhode Island and Louisville. I'm sure. Honestly, I'm scared of both of them. I think it'll be a great game either way. And I would love to travel to both of those cities if we get to that point. So let's make it happen.
There we go. You have your marching orders, not only the listeners, but also the players.
Rhode Island is not a city. I know that. Hold on. I just want to make that clear. I passed geography. But
it's about the size of a city.
It is. I would like to go to the state of Rhode Island. That'd be a fun away there too. Okay. That's it. Rob Higgins, what are we doing here? Tampa Bay Sports Commission, great job. Keep up the good work generally, but swing and miss on this one.
There we go. Folks, thank you for tuning in. We always appreciate when you do. We went a little long, but that's because we had a player on, and also we had a moment to talk about a pretty viral bit on social media. So I think that that's perfectly fair. If you would like to get more of this, you can. You can follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, even anywhere you are, we are too. I am mostly at Twitter. If you would like to see me, that is at RBLR James K, or you can use the hashtag AskRBLR. Carlos, what about you?
At CarlosTPA10 on Twitter. Tomorrow is opening. Well, sorry, today is opening day of Georgetown basketball. I will be there, and it's going to be a blast. I'm going to be tweeting about it the entire time. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
There we go.
Go Rowdies.
Perfect. And like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube if you would like to do that. Or if you don't, you can also find us on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple or Google Podcasts. Wherever you get podcasts, that's where we are. For a great win on penalties and hopefully another one coming up this weekend, come on you Rowdies and the Hoyas.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.